Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was searching for the purpose of her life and the truth that would tie everything together to make sense of what was taught and what was happening on our planet, the fire that was creating all the smoke. Through many experiences, she was finally led to the Knowledge Book that provided all the answers. Marge is now talking about this gift to humanity on Knowledge Book Radio, so all can be united in peace, love, and harmony. This live call-in show at 1-800-930-2819 is amazing. So get ready to hear about the Knowledge Book. Here's your host, Marge Potasek.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marge Potasek, and you're listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. For the next hour, we will continue to cover some topics from the Knowledge Book. And this week, we are continuing to talk about the answers to listener questions that we've received. Now, we've received many questions concerning the topics we've covered in the previous programs. So we've been spending some time in getting these questions answered. Before we actually start on the questions, I'd like to remind everyone that the best way of getting questions in and getting your answers is by texting your question to 973-787-7035. Again, 973-787-7035. Or you can email them to me at mmjp99@gmail.com. That's MaryMaryJohnPeter99@gmail.com. And of course, our website is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net, where lots of good information is covered. Okay, so let's clarify some points. There seems to be, at least here, a misunderstanding that I've noticed about what solar teachers are and what solar teachers are not. So I would like to go into the topic of solar teachers and teachers in general to kind of give us a perspective of what's actually happening and what my role is in all of this, okay, and the solar teacher's role in the Knowledge Book studies. So in the world dimension, and regular teachers, professors, whatever, they give lectures, they give lessons, they give assignments, they grade those assignments, they give tests, and the student then takes in the information, memorizes it, and then he proves that they have learned something from what the teacher has taught and provided by taking an examination or doing some kind of a written paperwork that also shows their own research capabilities and their ability to write. So the teacher is responsible, and the teacher is accountable for the progress the students make, and the teacher's role is to give them and provide information, provide to make it easy for the students to learn and to access the information that they need. However, this is not how the Knowledge Book works or what the role of the solar teacher is. Because when the solar teacher is reading a particular chapter at a focal point, or when we're reading together as three people in a council, or when we're reading together as seven people in a flower study, the role of the reader is to bring into the magnetic field of that study, the energies and the frequencies that that particular chapter, that fascicle, that message contains. And then we give our own particular view of what we understand that we have read at that particular point in time. So this is a presentation of a current view, and it changes over time as our understanding grows over time, as we absorb and know more and more knowledge and have a greater and greater ability to put things together. And this is not a presentation by any one of us of the absolute truth or the statement of hard facts. So what the solar teacher's responsibility is to talk about the future, not about the past, because everyone is already very familiar with the past. We've already, all of us have lived through, or most of us have lived through, the times of the Far East, of Moses, of David, of Jesus, of Muhammad, of Buddha, of all those teachers and that had come in, one every 2,000 years or so, and one every 100 years or so. And we already have that knowledge in our archives. And this is also true for those of us who are very curious about what we did in our past lives, who we were, what we did, what we accomplished, what we didn't accomplish. And because we are spending so much time on this research of going towards the back or going towards what we did previously or going back to previous religious teachings that we've already accomplished, we are now setting ourselves up for not being able to utilize the time we have currently to build a solid foundation for our future. And if we don't build a solid foundation for our future in the present, then we run the risk of possibly of us not existing in the future. So the missionary or the solar teacher, their goal eventually is to become a being with a cosmo consciousness. And this is where that individual's consciousness is completely connected to the system, and they are not using their own individual world consciousness. And those are the missionaries of evolution. And what that means is that they are serving by providing the fertile basis for everyone else's evolution. They are the ones who will not give the answer. They are the ones who will give you a clue, maybe, plant a seed, but possibly what the answer could be. But they're expecting that individual themselves to start searching and looking by themselves for the answers. And in which case, those individuals are evolving. And eventually it winds up that this missionary, this solar teacher, who has accomplished and has gotten to the cosmo consciousness, that's when they have a balance between the alpha and the beta, between the religious and the scientific dimensions. Now, the alpha dimension, if you remember, is the love frequency. That's the frequency that gives. It gives, it gives, it gives. It knows no stop in giving. But sometimes that giving is not actually beneficial for the receiver. If you're always, if you're always being fed baby food, and you're always being fed the baby food, you will never be able to grow strong teeth. You will never be able to learn how to eat yourself. You will never be able how to grow and develop because someone else is always doing it for you. Now, the beta consciousness is just the opposite. This is the one that's logical. This is closer to what we understand, for those of us who have been watching Star Trek, as Mr. Spock, right? It's not logical, does not compute, no emotions involved. A equals A plus B equals C, C plus D equals Q, whatever it is. It's very logical. There is no help. The person is left to their own devices if they got themselves in trouble. So the cosmo consciousness actually is one that balances between the two. And when you're at that cosmo consciousness, you always have the consciousness of knowing what to do, okay? In which case, in some cases, you will help. And in other cases, you will not help. And in each case, it will be perfectly appropriate for the situation at that time. So, while in the world dimension, the teacher is responsible and accountable to provide whatever is necessary for the student, and the teacher's being retained in that position is tagged to this, is coordinated, co-card index to this success in having the students succeed because the teacher provided everything for the student. In the universal dimension, it is the student that is responsible for searching and finding what they need. Because it is the student that is then expected to question, to compare, to find, to use their intellect and logic to arrive at a conclusion. So where before, in the previous sacred text that we were given, we were expected to believe, because that was important at the time. We were not at the level to be able to understand what was going on or how things really are. So we were given stories, we were given allegories, we were given lots of information where the teacher was out there always giving, like the world dimension right now. The teacher was providing everything, and as long as we believed in what was said, that was the quickest way for us at that time to get the purification that we needed, to get the energies and frequencies that those books contained, and eventually to merge with and be able to contain within ourselves the totality of the energies and frequencies and the knowledge those books gave to us. That was the program at that time. Now, that program at that time, just like parents, when they feed babies and take care of babies and allow them then to grow, and once they have teeth, they allow them to get bigger chunks of food, things that they need to chew themselves and to be able to swallow themselves and work themselves. So the sacred books are like us being still babies, or maybe even up to the being young adults. But once we finish with that training, once we become teenagers and on our way to becoming adults, that's when the knowledge book comes in. And the knowledge book takes us from those steps, that particular area, to where we need to be in terms of being the traveler of other dimensions and higher dimensions. So it is the intellect and the logic that allows the person at this time, the human at this time, to arrive at a conclusion and arrive at a decision as to what path to take and what is to be done at that particular moment. Okay, so it is true that the knowledge book has all the answers we need. However, it is not laid out for us on a silver platter. It is not something that is automatically given. We need to be able to do a little bit of thinking and a little bit of research and a little bit of connect the dots to be able to get at that truth. So the effort is necessary, and you need to put in what they call elbow grease to actually to get to it. You got to put a little sweat into it. You got to put a little effort into it. So because the student himself, herself, is responsible for putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Now, as we've covered in previous programs, we are already prepared. We are hardwired, and we already have the software in place that allows us to actually progress on this path that we're on. And we're perfectly ready for our current life and our current evolution path. But it is we ourselves that need to walk on that path to get to the destination. No one else can do it for us, okay? So how do we get knowledge? How is it that whatever is in the knowledge book comes into our brain and we are able to absorb it and keep it and be able to work with it and retain it? And how is our understanding then growing based on that? How is our consciousness growing based on that? Well, as I have mentioned before, there is something called the light photon cyclone technique. And this technique is the way the knowledge book was prepared. And it works in a very special and specific way. And if you remember, the light photon technique has the ability, has the power to put into, or the knowledge book has the power to draw into itself The time consciousness, the knowledge, the energies, the frequencies that are available at that time in that space. So the book that was prepared in 1993, published in 1996, has the same letters, the same numbers, the same sentences as it has right now. However, the understanding we get from the book as it is now, meaning as it was before, is different than the understanding we got at the time that it was first published and released in 1984. Not published in 1984. It was released as separate chapters in 1984. Okay? Because we are at a different level of consciousness. We are at a different level of evolution. And therefore, we will see things in the knowledge book today that were not visible back in 1984. That's number one. And we still do not see what will be visible to someone who's reading the knowledge book 1,000 years from now. Because they will be also on a completely different knowledge, energy, frequency, and evolution level and consciousness level to be able to grasp that knowledge that we could not see before, to grasp those frequencies that we could not grasp before. So how does the knowledge get to us, whatever time frame we're in? Basically, when we read the knowledge book, the eyes pick up the frequencies of the letters and transmit those frequencies, those words, to the brain. So once again, the eyes pick up the frequencies of the letters and transmit those frequencies to the brain. And when there are brain cells that are at that frequency, exact frequency level, then the knowledge those frequencies contain gets locked to the brain cell and we understand and remember what we read. And in this way, we are able to word by word, evolution level by evolution level, to understand more and more, to retain more and more, and remember one more and more. If there is a frequency for which there is not a corresponding frequency of the cell brain, then that knowledge, even though we may have briefly understood what it was saying, however, eventually it is only that knowledge that gets retained in the brain that locks with the frequency, that is able to lock with the frequency of its own cell frequency that we retain and remember. Everything slides out of our brain like the brain was Teflon, and we do not remember what we've read. And it gets to the point where you've read a particular fascicle, maybe the day before, and the next day you have no idea what that fascicle contained. You retained some part of that knowledge, maybe one or two or three facts or some kind of connections that made sense to you at that time. But the rest of it, if someone asked you, what's in fascicle 25? What does chapter 25 contain? I wasn't able to tell them because my frequency was not at the level to be able to grasp that information, lock it in my brain, and therefore to be able to remember it. Okay? And eventually, however, over time, and this is one of the reasons why we read the knowledge book over and over again, because as we're going through life, as we're going through experiences, we evolve. And when we evolve, our frequency becomes higher, which means our brain is able to have and hold and connect with higher frequencies, in which case we understand and are able to lock in more and more of the words that the knowledge book uses, and then we're able to understand more of the knowledge and understand everything that is going on in the knowledge book, and then we will be able to remember what's in fascicle 1, what's in fascicle 55, what's in supplement 7. So, but that's a gradual process, okay? So the key is for the brain cells to be at the frequency, and a person on a higher rung of the evolutionary ladder will have a higher brain frequency, as I had just mentioned, and therefore will be able to understand and know a lot more of what they've read, okay? And this can only be done by ourselves. No one can do it for us. I keep calling it the ultimate do-it-yourself project. So who are we? We are now adults that have gone through many centuries of growth and evolution, and we no longer need baby food, and we ourselves are capable of eating it ourselves, and our constitution is at a level for us to be able to digest it, and it can then serve as a source of greater energy levels so that we progress and we become higher and higher consciousnesses and higher levels of evolution. So the question then comes up, so if the teacher no longer tests us, what are all the examinations that the knowledge book is talking about, and how do they come about? And this is where the life experiences come in, because each one of us has a plan of destiny, and that plan of destiny allows us to learn the lessons that we need to learn through which we evolve. And as we evolve, we understand more and more of the truth that's contained in the knowledge book, and we remember the truth that's contained in the knowledge book. So, to kind of summarize, the role of the solar teacher is to state the truth of what the system is, how the system works, and what the current responsibilities of the missionaries who are in the system are. And the solar system, and the solar teacher, is responsible for knowing and transmitting the guidelines that the missionaries are to follow. Now, we are in a dimension that's a variable dimension. Everything changes. Everything depends. If one thing happens, something else happens because that happened, and something else happens because that happened. Bit by bit, domino by domino, we all affect each other. And as we are affecting each other, as we are evolving, the guidelines that are being given to us and by which we know what it is that we're supposed to be doing and what our responsibilities are also change. So the solar teacher is responsible for knowing what the latest guidelines are and transmitting those guidelines to those individuals who are interested and who are part of the system and want to know. So once you become part of the system, it is those guidelines, those working ordinances, that allow us to know what to do at every point in time in terms of general guidelines, and it will be our conscience connected to our consciousness level that will tell us and guide us on what steps to take. So, and what's given is the truth. The knowledge book gives us the truth and what is coming in the future, so all of us can make sane decisions on what steps to take. So maybe now this is a good time for a break before we go into the questions. So you are listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek, and when we come back, we will continue with the Knowledge Book topic of listener questions. And stay tuned, we'll be right back. Again, the number is 7973-787-7035 for texting questions. Email address is mmjp99@gmail.com. Again, for emailing topics and questions, marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. And the Knowledge Book website is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. Stay tuned. We'll be right back and continue with answering questions.
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. transform your relationships, and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back. And we're back on Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on Transformation Talk Radio. And we've been giving a bit of a preliminary knowledge as to what a solar teacher is and what their responsibilities are. And we'll continue to answer listener questions. And the next question came is this. Is there a plan, a schedule of how to deal with and eliminate the ego in the Knowledge Book itself? And or included in its programs. In short, yes. The Knowledge Book and the Knowledge Book studies are specifically designed to purify us of our egos and produce and convey us to the state of a genuine human who thinks of others before they think about themselves, and therefore the ego is eliminated at that state. And before we go into detail on how the Knowledge Book studies accomplish this and how the Knowledge Book accomplishes this, let's look a little at who we are and the role the ego plays in our lives. Here are some of the relevant points. A human was first a single energy particle, which then underwent an evolution of crude matter form from the state of a micro form, micro energy, single energy particle, to eventually resulted in human form by going through a series of evolution steps, going from a speck of dust that became a rock, that became a blade of grass, that became an insect, that became an animal, that became eventually a human, up the evolution chain that Darman describes. And at each step of that progression, at each step of that evolution ladder, there was a leap that we needed to make from a rock to some living cell, from that cell to some congregation of cells that became a single-celled animal or a plant, some, again, greater aggregation and unification of forms that became a bigger form, like a blade of grass or a tree or a bush, or that eventually we jumped again, became an insect, etc., etc., up the evolution ladder. In all these different forms, it is the ego that that entity had at that particular time that allowed each form to maneuver in the world and to maintain its safety and survival. Without the ego, we would not be able to be alive today in the form that we are today. However, as we got to the human form, we needed to learn to cooperate and collaborate with other humans, in which case our individual egos were put to the background. In the overall scheme of things, as long as we are in the world dimension, we need fear and ego to function in that world dimension, to have shelter, to have subsistence, to continue to live, to be able to have enough wherewithal for us to survive and for our families to survive. And the ego is not necessarily negative. When you help another individual because you see them in need and feel good afterwards, that's ego on the positive side. However, when you take something from someone to make your own self benefit at the other's detriment, then it is ego on the negative side. So the ego's purpose is to serve the self, to perpetuate the self, no matter what happens to others. So what is the litmus test? How do you know someone is operating from ego or from altruism? How can you recognize these signs of ego in yourself? Well, when only you knows the best, instead of having no knowledge or experience in that area, then I'm thinking you're operating from ego. When you consider only your own benefit without looking at and regarding others, then again, you're operating from ego. When you are perpetually late, no matter how much that inconveniences and wastes everyone else's time for that are waiting for you, then again, you're operating from ego. When you criticize everything and find fault with everyone, meaning you're judging everything and everyone, then you're operating from ego. When you only listen to yourself and you go by your own rules, again, you're operating from ego. And when no matter what guideline is given, you immediately want to change it to have it done your way because you automatically know that your way is the best way. If you're constantly teaching everyone because only you are the source of knowledge for everyone and everyone needs to listen to, then again, you're probably negotiating from ego. So if you are only serving yourself, then you are being led by the ego, even when that serving yourself hurts others. However, when I was thinking about this, in the higher realms, in the advanced dimensions, there is no need for egos. In fact, we have to drop our egos, eliminate our egos, in order for us to be admitted to those higher dimensions. So my thoughts were, okay, so why? Why can we not have egos up there? What is it that egos do that won't allow us to go up there? And then my understanding came to be this, that once we are at those higher dimensions, our life is eternal and guaranteed. We don't have to look out for ourselves because we don't have to protect our existence and protect our continuation of existence. Because at that time, when we go to the higher dimensions, when we've dropped our egos, we'll be immortal. And nothing is going to come out of the bushes and out of the darkness to attack us and eat us. So my thoughts were, okay, so if I am going to continue to live and this will be a happy life and I'll be able to go where I want and do what I need to do, perform mission here or there or everywhere, and my life is immortal, then the self that only protects me, myself, and I, then is no longer needed. So there is no harm in dropping the ego because everything is provided and will be everything that is needed for us to be. So where are we? Just like those individual levels of evolution that we had gone through, and we needed to jump from one level to the next, to the next, to the next, because at each level of evolution, there were different forms that we took, there were different functionalities that we took on, and we had abilities and potentials that we didn't have in the previous steps. We are poised at the same kind of a evolutionary jump right now. And we are poised to actually make that leap to egolessness through the evolution we went through up until this point of time and through the evolution we are undergoing now. So if you remember, once we became a human in form, then the last 6,000 years of evolution, we went from the meditation programs, we went through the Kabbalah, we went through Jesus's program, we went through Muhammad's program. Each one of them was about 2,000 years. And everyone progressed one step to the next step to the next step and was able to accomplish their evolution. And that's how we got to be here. The one that was the most successful, of course, was the New Testament with the love frequency. And through this frequency, humans got to evolve more quickly, which means they were able to absorb cosmic energies much more easily. Okay? So we arrived at today, and where we had gone through the first, the second, the third order of Allah previously, we are now starting with the year 2000 in the fourth order of Allah, and the knowledge book has been bestowed to us to finish our incarnations, to attain consciousness, to attain the truth, and to go join the rest of those who have succeeded before us. So we've done it. We've got up to here. We've become the human of today. And now this human is poised at the final evolution dimension that can convey us to the Makron form by attaining the truth through the knowledge book studies. So we arrive at the knowledge book studies when we've completed and accomplished the status of religious consciousness, when we've integrated with all the precepts those educating and training programs inculcated. So how does the knowledge book study, the knowledge book studies, get rid of the vestiges of ego? So in short, knowledge book studies are geared to serve humanity, not ourselves. In the council programs, the reflection focal points, the totalities of 18, the flower programs are group programs whose focus is service to others. So while in those programs, while in those groups, we need to learn how to cooperate, to collaborate, to negotiate, to compromise, to achieve a particular goal. There are no leaders, followers. We are all teachers, students, leaders, followers of ourselves. We need to give, both morally and materially. Morally, by providing help when requested, always following ethical guidelines, and materially, by providing funds, food, goods, etc., as needed, in alignment with our abilities and with the need of what we need to accomplish. We learn to abide by the guidelines given, not by our own rules. So again, ego is in the background, service is in the foreground. We learn to put others first and not ourselves. We learn to become responsible, to respect the other and respect the whole. We get to grow our own power through the tasks that we are expected to do. It is amazing what humans can accomplish once they step out of fear and into how do I actually accomplish this? Growth is inevitable. Happiness and joy is inevitable once you follow the steps given. Now, if someone had told me that I would be doing a radio program even 2 years ago, I would have said, you're nuts. Go see a shrink. I have some, you know, special remedy that I need to show you. Go take care of yourself. But I'm here. I'm on the radio, and somehow I'm doing it. When I went to Turkey for the first time in 2008, I told the beings that were there, well, you know, you're coming here very often, but there is no way that I could come to Turkey more than once every 2 years. And believe it or not, now I'm going to Turkey 3 times a year. So it is true that our salvation is a do-it-yourself project, but we cannot accomplish it ourselves. So let's think about that for a minute. Going by my past experience, when I was praying, when I was meditating, I felt good. There was no anger, no conflict. There was always peace and joy. And I felt very, very good meditating. And especially after a retreat, there arose this feeling of well-being and love. Nothing negative existed. Everything was wonderful. Life was great. Everything was great. Oh, I have such wonderful qualities. There is nothing but peace inside of me. Wow, how did I get there? And then I would come home. And instead of the clean house I left, everything would be in a jumble. The telephone had messages, the boss looking for me, all kinds of stuff being left behind that apparently nobody could find. So what happens? This wonderful, great, great person finds they are not so great because all of a sudden anger pops up, frustration pops up, no control over self arises. Well, so we needed those individuals, number one, to show us we're not as great as we thought we were. And then we needed those individuals to show us, well, you still got a little ways to go. So briefly, the knowledge book studies provide us with cosmic energies and frequencies to feed and grow that wonderful, glowing, positive being inside us, and providing the energies and frequencies that file down and remove the negativity still within us. And those knowledge book studies also provide the examination environment that allows us, and them of course, to know how much of a journey of evolution we still need. Because in the knowledge book studies, we undergo a very accelerated karma purification evolution program process. Eventually, we get to learn about the law of acceptance. And in the law of acceptance, everything is positive, meaning no matter what is happening, we know that it is good, it is positive, because it needs to be at that point in time. And even if it looks to us at that particular point in time that things are going down the drain and things are negative, we know through experience and through our logic, because we've gone through this before and realized this before, that everything is going towards the positive and everything will have a positive result. And another way of cutting down our egos is because we learn to follow ordinances. We learn to follow guidelines, whatever they are, without argument, without rebellion, without questioning, because it is not our ego, but it is our knowing that there is a higher self, there is a higher law that progresses and allows us to progress, and that law is giving us specific guidelines because they know what works best for us, because they've been teaching us for over 6,000 years at least. So what is this whole program? The program of the knowledge book leads us to altruism, meaning putting others first and service, as opposed to being led by ego, which serves only itself. Okay? So another question that we have is, so is Tibet, the Far East, doing the same program we are? What is the cube system? Is that the Tibetan method? For someone who is practicing Buddhism, is it important to go into the knowledge book? So I kind of bunched all these questions together because it all has to do with the Far East and it has to do with the 10th dimension. And hopefully the following will address this question. So, Tibetan Buddhism, is it the same as the knowledge book? It's both yes and no. Yes, in the sense that we are getting knowledge from the same dimension, the 10th dimension, which is the cube system. However, the programs themselves are very different. The Tibetan program was the original program that was given to humanity, and this was the program of drawing down time consciousness with thought power. But we were not all of us were successful in this program, so other programs, other sacred books came in to allow us to get to the point where we are able to draw down time consciousness, to draw down cosmic energies through thought power. Okay? So the sacred books applied giving information by which people were purified and were awakened as a mass under the supervision of the system. And this is how humanity, over time, is slowly enabled to attain consciousness. Now, just because you get information, you get knowledge, does not automatically mean that you attain consciousness. And we'll answer that particular topic, not topic, but that particular dichotomy a little bit later on. So what is nirvana? Nirvana is actually a dimension of supreme light and wisdom. When a person goes through the dimension of purification, nirvana is the last stop. That's the last step of purification. And this is called the dimension of ascension, the solar dimension, or the sixth dimension, also known as the dimension of immortality. So dimension of ascension, solar dimension, sixth dimension, dimension of immortality are all other words, all synonyms for nirvana. And this is where the person gets to that level through their own efforts. And what is the end product of all these efforts is the bodies being able to receive cosmic energies easily. And the training is individual. And everyone is going on their own particular path and their own particular progression. And here the ego is eliminated through deep worship, through meditation, and very, very strict and formal practices. And when the person is at the nirvana dimension, they can actually choose to stay there as a permanent boundary, or they can agree to make a compact, an agreement, and a covenant with the system, in which case they have the ability then to go to higher dimensions. And ego is also eliminated through submission and deep inner peace. And this is where thought is matured through individual power. And then this thought connects with the system. So if the person wants to go to higher dimensions than nirvana or the sixth dimension, then we need to cooperate with the system. So those individuals who are at the state of nirvana, if they want to go to higher dimensions and get information from higher dimensions and energies from higher dimensions, need to come into the knowledge book, okay? And when we cooperate with the system and working with the systems and the programs of the knowledge book, then we get to go and get permission, successfully finishing these programs, to go into the seventh dimension. Now, the seventh dimension is the exit gate of the dimension that we're in right now. And this is the 18th evolution dimension and the 72nd energy dimension. And this is where we transition from alpha to omega. Now, right now, there are two branches of the solar dimension that are open to our planet. One of them is spiritual and the other is scientific. In the spiritual dimension, there is no worldly weaknesses at all. Actually, that's in the scientific dimension. There is no worldly weaknesses at all. There is ego, there is truth, and there is a power to carry on the world potential. And worldly consciousness, however, drives us away from divine consciousness. So again, in the scientific or the technological dimension, there is ego, there is effort, there are quests, and there we are being guided by the influences that are given to us. Now, both the spiritual and the scientific paths are service on the godly path, and every study and effort made on our planet is considered as worship. So in other words, if you're working in the worldly path, then that is our worship, and our activities then allows us to reach the level of God. So learning and science are searched and found through worldly consciousness, and this is where the West attains mental effort and matures through matures thought, being connected to the technological channel, okay? And this is where the mental effort is absolutely necessary. So again, Far East programs are individual programs, individual progression. And the sacred books, those are actually more advanced programs where progression is made as a mass being connected and supervised by the spiritual, the lordly, and the technological dimensions. There are those in the Far East who are serving the central solar system, central solar totality, and this is where duty comes first and themselves comes later. And there are others who serve in the Far East from the spiritual and the lordly dimension as well. But in that dimension, in the Eastern dimension, Far East dimension, we need to have a guru in order for us to achieve nirvana. However, in the studies of the knowledge book, by that time, we ourselves become our own gurus, and the knowledge book is a guru for us. So currently, at this final age, it is absolutely necessary to be connected to the system, therefore to be connected to the knowledge book studies, because this is the path of salvation. And this is the key for us to be able to enter the advanced dimensions. Now, before we mention that, having knowledge, having information is not the same thing as being conscious. And so what does consciousness actually mean? When the knowledge book speaks about consciousness, that the religions of the Far East are not, they are many, much knowledge. Knowledge that even the sacred books don't have, because it is knowledge that the knowledge book and the Tibetans of the Far East, the Lamas of the Far East, can access the 10th dimension. However, it is low in consciousness. It is low in consciousness because it is an individual effort done basically for themselves. However, true consciousness is attaining altruism. True consciousness means serving others and not yourself. Okay, and at that point, since you are altruistic, you are free of ego, and therefore conscious, and therefore you have now gained entry into the advanced dimensions. Okay? We have another question here, and this is, what about other planetary beings? What will happen to them? What about the Arcturians? Will they go to Beta Nova as well? It is my understanding that everyone, wherever they live, is undergoing evolution, and by successfully going through their own evolution plans, earn the right to come to this planet and go through the godly evolution. Okay? And it is my understanding that all galactic beings who successfully completed their evolution plans are currently being gathered in Beta Nova, and the symbol for this gathering, for this unification of all the beings from all the realms, is actually the sunflower emblem, which is the emblem of the knowledge book. Now, we received a text question also, and this is, I have my book, and I am anxious to start reading the reading program on February 19th. What is the level of evolution that I am starting from? Okay. So, congratulations. Very nice to know that you have the knowledge book and that you're going to be starting the reading program. I'm sure that 1,000 of your coordinates will be very happy to be receiving consciousness engraftment from you as you are doing the reading program. And very briefly, because we're running out of time here in this hour, I would like to say that when you are entering the knowledge book programs, you are basically at the alpha dimension, the love frequency, and you are at the 72nd energy or very close to it. We don't know exactly where anyone is. However, we can generally say that this is your entry point into the knowledge book is the 72nd energy dimension, 18th evolution dimension, and the alpha frequency, alpha dimension, which means you have basically succeeded in finishing your religious training, your religious education, your religious purification, and are now starting on your travel through from the 72nd to the 76th energy dimension, going from alpha to omega. So this is where you are, and the knowledge book is perfectly situated. You are perfectly situated to be able to accomplish this. We could go more into this topic maybe at a different next show. But now it is time to close. We have, you have not much time left, so we'd like to remind you that we do have a focal point here in New York City. We start at 7 p.m. Ask people to be here at 6:45 or so. The address and the location is listed on our website. A great big thank you for all those who have sent their questions. And again, 973-787-7035. mmjp99@gmail.com, Mary John Peter 99@gmail.com. Again, we have this program every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, on Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on Transformation Talk Radio. Should you wish to receive or have a conference in your area, please do call us. We'll be happy to travel and answer questions right then and there. So as Mrs. Chirac often repeats, humanity's verdict is in humanity's hands. You are the ones who will save the world. Okay, thank you. We'll see you next week, and all the best to you. Thank you again. Bye.
You've been listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik. Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity, and its time of transition to the golden age that provided the truth and energies and frequencies. Now, she shares information from and answers questions about the Knowledge Book with you each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit Marge at usa.theknowledgebook.net.